You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May God use and overrule my words. May God's word only be spoken, God's word only be heard. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you. It's wonderful, and I want to just take a minute to say thank you to everyone who helped prepare, all the people that are being received or confirmed today, for your help, your guidance, your support, your teaching, your prayers, for praying for them, all of those things. You're not done. I guess I should say you'll still have that role with those who are gathered, and for those that are sponsoring, the same thing is true. You know, years ago I attempted on several occasions to be a Christian by myself, all by myself. It doesn't work very well. You have to have a community of faith. You need to have, as Jesus says, at least two or three. And you see that what he does immediately upon his baptism is gather his community. I mean, you know, he's the Son of God. He could go do whatever he wanted to do. He gathered his community. He called his disciples to walk with him. So today, think of yourselves as being that community walking with each other. And it's an incredible gift to the people that are being confirmed and received. And it's also a gift to the church. I want to thank your leaders, your leadership, and the Cathedral Church of the Advent for their ministry in the Diocese of Alabama. It's just a huge gift to anyone who comes near it. It is a wonderful blessing, and there are so many things you're doing that I don't know about, and that's okay, because that means the gospel is spreading, and that's the way I like to think about it. So thank you very much. You know, today we read a very short passage with a big message. Love one another, love one another, love one another. Any questions? I actually heard a preacher describe these few verses that way. It begins what we think of as Jesus' goodbye words, the farewell discourse, his final instructions. You know, your final instructions before you leave the earth. Those are just a hint of why it is so important. Love one another. He gives no other ethical imperative in John's gospel except this command. That's all you have to do. In the 13th chapter of John, he has just washed the disciples' feet. It's the Last Supper, preparing them for what's going to look like when he is gone. And then he gives them this commandment. It's almost a necessary, essential thing. But love one another is not a new commandment. So maybe they thought, hey, we've studied this, we've looked at this, we've prayed over this. What's new about this? But he says, as I have loved you. And that was brand new. That's what's new about this, along with, by this, everyone will know your love for one another. They'll know that you belong to me. They'll know that you're my disciple by the way that you love. So this is your calling card. It's our calling card. It's our motto. If we forget everything else, it's our purpose. And Jesus takes an old commandment and gives it a new meaning. You know, I read about an unemployed photographer who moved to New York hoping to take pictures of 10,000 New Yorkers on the streets. It seems he wanted to capture how they went about their lives and create a catalog of all the city's people. And as he began to take pictures, he started to interview people, and I thought the questions he asked were interesting. He really asked them, number one, what is your greatest struggle? Wow, Take a minute and think about that. What's your greatest struggle? And then he asked them, please give me one piece of advice. So an older woman whose picture shows her with wisp of gray hair sticking out from her furry cap, a little bit of mascara under her wrinkled eyes, says, when my husband was dying, I said to him, Sam, how am I supposed to live without you? And my husband said, take the love that you have for me and that I have given you and spread it around. I think that's beautiful. Take the love you have for me that I have given you and spread it around. It answers the disciples' spoken and unspoken worries, I think. How are they supposed to live without Jesus? You know they were thinking that. Jesus tries to help us. Take the love that I have shown you, that I have given you. Pour it out on the world. Spread it around wherever you are. Now, today is an extremely big day for the cathedral. We're going to have an ordination this afternoon, but we've had some confirmations earlier today. We're going to have some more in a moment. Receptions and confirmations are extremely important in the faith. You see, y'all are sharing your faith journey with all of us, and all of us are thinking about ours. And as we watch a public confession of faith in Jesus, that is never hard to watch, is it? That's always a great thing to watch. You reaffirm rejection of evil. We all don't want to miss a chance to reject evil. And you reaffirm your desire to follow Jesus. And that strengthens all of our faith, strengthens all of our desire to follow. And maybe this is the first time you've done that in a public setting. That is a very big deal. The faith given you at baptism is what you're declaring. And what I'm doing is simply pointing to it and confirming it, that it is at work. Maybe it's been nurtured by your parents, by your godparents, by friends. Maybe you've thought about this for a long time. Should I follow Jesus according to the way of the Episcopal Anglican Church? And today you're deciding yes. And my hands on your head simply means that I'm a reminder, and hopefully you'll remember that the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now and always. Nothing will take that away. God has given you a gift to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to nourish you in the faith. And so you have access to the fruits of the Spirit. You know those: hope, peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's up to you to stay in the path of grace, to listen for God's voice, to follow, and to see that Jesus will always say, come and see. I was looking at the collect for today. I saw it several times already, but you know how you see something and then it jumps out at you. Perfectly know that this Jesus Christ to be the way, the truth, and the life. When I first found Jesus, I was 16. I was in a Baptist church because they came and got me off the front porch of my parents' house in the summer. They go after people. And I went to church, and the very first thing that happened is the youth had a clubhouse, and we were painting murals. And I painted the mural, Face of Jesus, not a very great painting, but I painted the way, the truth, and the life, the lettering. That stuck with me and drove me, because that is a fascinating question. It's a fascinating statement. The way, the truth, and the life. In other words, just follow me. Just follow me, Glenda, if you can't figure anything else out. Don't try very hard. Follow me and love one another. That's really all you have to do. You know, Paul promises us that we're going to grow up in Christ. As we follow, our understanding of Jesus will deepen, and we're going to be transformed into his likeness. And I believe that happens. Your church is the place where you get the most grace put in your path. That doesn't mean you can't get it anywhere else. It just means this is a reliable place where you can get it. And it is designed to teach, comfort, challenge, encourage, and you need everybody around you. But your true purpose is what Jesus says today. We're put on earth to love. Now, most of us are afraid we won't have enough love. I fall in that category a lot of days. Some of us doubt our belovedness. We need to be in a place where we can be reminded. Some of us fear losing control of our lives. If we really put Jesus in the middle, what is he going to do? He wants the very best for us, but sometimes we don't know the best. Jesus will lead us, but it can be scary. None of us can love one another as Jesus has loved us. That sacrificial love that Jesus gives us will always exceed our ability to do it. We try to love the stranger we meet. We try to love the friend we like. The person who is so different, maybe the family member that we see every day, and we fall terribly short. It can be very, very disappointing. Jesus knew his disciples would fall short. He knew it. After all, just hours after he tells them this, they'd abandon him when he goes to the cross. Loving one another involves the suffering of the cross and dying to self or to who I thought I was. Namely, I get a chance every day many times to see my limits and my need for God and my need for God's help when I try to love. Love is often hard to find. I'm comforted that Jesus knows us and loves us enough to die for us anyway. Christians live in a constant state of repentance. We fall short, we turn to God, we are forgiven, and we try again over and over. And Jesus gives us this purpose that he gives us today, this picture of how we're supposed to live, even when we fall short. This commandment is enduring. It doesn't go away. Our standard is the same. It's very encouraging to think that Jesus expects we can do it. We really can. A priest named Henry Nouwen writes, if we wait to love until we have a feeling of love, we may never learn to love well. Mostly we know the loving thing to do, but we do love even if others are not able to respond with love. We will discover that our feelings will always catch up with our acts. To show God's love to the world in every way we can is our ultimate purpose. Why do we try to love those we hate, who we hate, those who are different, those who hate us, those who we don't understand? Because Jesus told us to. So there must be other deeper reasons. If it's all you do, it is enough. Because in loving, we discover that we are loved and then we are sustained. First, we love without expectations for anything in return. C.S. Lewis calls that kind of love gift love, distinguished from need love, which wants and takes from a place of emptiness. Gift love is offered not because we'll be loved back, but simply because we're trying to follow. We're just trying to follow. Second, loving as Jesus loves makes us vulnerable. The word vulnerable being literally means able to be wounded. When we love those who are not like us, expecting nothing back, we open ourselves to be hurt. Yet, as our former presiding bishop, Michael Curry, my cousin, told us, if it's not about love, it's not about God. And the only answer for our divisions, he said, is that we love each other. So he told us, if you're a Democrat, go out and find some Republicans to love. If you're a Republican, go out and find yourself some Democrats to love. It's the only way, he said, that eternity will happen on earth. When we love each other, eternity happens now, because that is God's dream. He also told us that you can love your neighbor even if you don't like him. You don't have to like him. To like is a reaction and a feeling, but loving someone is a decision and a commitment. Sometimes we make the gospel seem more complicated, but it's really not. At the heart of everything else is love. He said if he didn't do anything else as presiding bishop, he was going to make sure that everywhere he went, all of his churches learned one Bible verse, the first letter of John, he said, which is, God is love. So take the love I gave you, the love that you have for me, and spread it around. And by this, the world will know that you belong to me. And living this way was enough to sustain the disciples when Jesus went to the cross. It was enough to sustain the church after he was resurrected and many were persecuted. It's enough to get us through loss, to help us through fear in very hard times. It's enough to help us live in hope. It's enough to bring us here today. Each time we choose love, we bear witness to God's radical love for us and for the world. And Jesus came not to condemn us, but only to save us. And for that reason, let us love one another. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.